morning we're starting a new series, and I've been talking about this a little bit, but I believe that the Lord really wants to teach us as a congregation how to pray and how to really bring heaven to earth, because really that's what prayer is we are bringing heaven here to earth. And Jesus said to pray that way. Matter of fact, the disciples are with Jesus, and Luke 11:1, look what it says. It says, "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" I think it's interesting, and even though Jesus taught his disciples how to lay hands on the sick, that they would recover, he taught them all these things, taught them how to evangelize, told them to go make disciples. The one thing recorded in Scriptures is the disciples said, "Teach us to pray." And so when I see that, I think there must have been something different about Jesus' prayer. And if you study it out, you see there was a great deal that was different about Jesus' prayer. Matter of fact, the religious people, the Pharisees, if you will, of his time, the Jewish teachers and religious people of Jesus' time, they were irritated because Jesus called God his Father. I mean, it just burned them every time he talked that way. And even though there's many good Jewish prayers and prayers that you and I could even pray, when you look at Jewish prayers, we're praying to a God in heaven who has our best in mind. But Jesus took that and said, when you pray, pray our Father. And so he took it to a whole new personal level. And we're going to go through this prayer because Jesus answered them and told them to pray a certain way. Now the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, "Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Say, "For me." Look at the person next to you. Say, "For you." Listen, as a Christian, we should be praying. Okay, meditating on Scripture is great, but we're kind of like downloading information. Come on. But we need to speak it out. We need to pray. We need to seek God. We need to speak His Word, and we'll be talking about those things over the next few weeks. Don't stop seeking Father. Reach out to Him. God responds to heartfelt prayers from His children, and He answers according to His Word. And we'll take a look at this over the next few weeks so you and I will understand that prayer really is not just something where it's a form or a religious duty. It's a relationship where we're coming to the one who meets every need, not only meets, but has met. Say has. He's already met it through Christ Jesus. And so we're coming and we're claiming what He's done for us. And we're thanking Him for being a loving Father. But the Bible says we should pray in everything. The Bible says we should pray always. Luke 21:36. Jesus said, "Watch therefore and pray," what? "Always." So you and I should be praying in everything. We should pray always, and we should pray everywhere. 1 Timothy 2:8. "I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting." Without wrath and doubting. It should just be natural for Christians to pray. I don't care where you are. It should be natural. If we're talking to somebody that doesn't even know the Lord, we should just be able to say, "Would you mind? Could I pray for you?" I have yet had someone say, "No, don't pray for me." Not yet. I've had people say, "I don't want you to buy me clothes." I've told that story before. I've asked people, "Hey, can I buy you those clothes?" And I've had people say, "No, I don't understand that." Somebody wanted to buy me clothes, I'd say, "Yeah." I'd say, "Do you mind if I go get some more?" Yeah, come on. Takes you back to your teenage years when mom and dad were paying for everything. But I have never had somebody, when I ask them if I could pray for them, I have never, ever had somebody say no. Now, what I have had people do is I start to pray right there, and they go, "What?" Because so many people say, "Well, I'll be praying about that." And maybe you're one of those people that actually goes home and prays. And I pray. But I'll tell you, there's so many things to pray about. Help me out, somebody. I just pray right then, and I say, "Send me a note, send me an email, whatever. Do something so I can remember to pray for you, because I got to look at things." But if you pray right then, how many know Jesus hears your prayer? Father God hears your prayer. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 7:25 that Jesus lives to make intercession for you and me. Jesus is praying for you right now. Jesus is praying for this service right now. Woo, come on, somebody. I mean, no, our lives can be changed because of the prayers that Jesus is praying. Our lives can be changed because of the prayers that you and I pray. And Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, and it's recorded in Scripture. So we should pray in everything, we should pray always, and we should pray everywhere. Luke 11:2, this is Jesus' answer to his disciples. He said to them, "When you pray," notice he didn't say if, he said when, "say," say this for me, say, "say, part of prayer is speaking. Now, you can have silent prayer, and it's recorded in Scripture. But I'm going to tell you something. To really live a life that you're getting breakthrough after breakthrough, you got to say something. And you'll see through Scripture that that really is what Jesus taught. All right? So he says, when you pray, say, our Father. Matter of fact, read this with me. Many of us know this. So he said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And so we're going to take a few weeks and we're going to go through this here. And there's really some principles that Jesus was teaching. All right, it doesn't mean you have to pray this prayer word for word every day. But there's principles that Jesus was teaching his disciples, not only in this prayer that's recorded, but he taught them this over and over again because they saw the way he lived his life. And the first thing I want to look at today is what he first said. He said, pray this way. He said, our Father in heaven. Now, I believe so many Christians don't have effective prayer lives. In fact, I think so many Christians don't have effective Christian lives because they don't realize that God is our Father. It is really a revelation that if we're going to have effective prayer lives, we have got to receive this. Listen to me this morning. You have got to believe that God is your Father. Well, what is that? I mean, you can say that, and it can mean nothing. And many of us have had bad relationships with our fathers here on earth. Some of us have not even had a father. And that can really complicate things. But I want to assure you this morning as we go through this series, and as you look at the Word of God, God is your Father, the one who is in heaven, that meets every need, who sent his Son to die for us, and now his Holy Spirit is here, bearing witness of the things that the Word of God has brought into our lives. So God is a Father who loves us, who has met every need for us, and now you and I can receive those things. And so we have to break through here. Jesus said that if you don't receive the kingdom of heaven, even as a little child, like a child, you can't even enter. And so understanding that God is our Father, and you know, many of us have been through some terrible things. And so it makes us very hard to really understand what a good father is. See, God is the one who loves, who forgives, who delivers us, who provides for us. As I mentioned earlier, the Pharisees didn't know God as Father. Matter of fact, they said that their father was Abraham. But God is our Father. When Jesus said God was his Father, it aroused them. And then he prayed and he spoke as one with authority. As a matter of fact, it tells us in the Scripture that that was really what got to them, is that he prayed and he spoke as one who had authority. And they saw that it was different. And maybe you've run into a religious person, someone, they see you pray and you're praying and you're saying, Lord, I thank you that you meet all my needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. I thank you today that I'm the head and not the tail. And you're just going crazy. And some religious person say, you can't pray that way. And you see a religious person say, oh God, please. Please, if you hear us. How many remember the song Bette Midler, From a Distance? Beautiful song. Really bad, bad theology. And prayers like that really, really enforce what we already think, is that God's way far away, doesn't understand where we're going. Listen, you and I have got to have a breakthrough where we, when we think of God as our Father, we just go, oh, I don't care what we're going through. It's going to work out. Come on, somebody. You got to believe that. No matter how bad it gets, it doesn't matter. And so many people have a bad idea of what Father looks like. As a matter of fact, I pulled up some statistics. Statistics show that right around 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 85% of all youth in prison come from fatherless homes. 90% of homeless and runaway, as well, we just said that, children are from fatherless homes. Listen, fatherless boys and girls are twice as likely to drop out of high school, twice as likely to end up in jail, four times more likely to end up or needing help for emotional or behavioral problems. And I started looking at this. I believe Holy Spirit took me to this and really was speaking to me and showing me that there are many of us sitting in church pews this morning, some of us even here, who feel homeless. We feel like dropping out of the race. We live our lives shut up inside of a spiritual prison. Maybe this is you today. Or maybe we just feel like running away, not allowing anyone close. And I think it's because we don't have a revelation that God is our Father. And I believe that's why so many people won't even have relationships with other men and women who are Christians. Because we don't have a revelation. Because we're really expecting someone to hurt us. We're expecting someone to let us down. How many know people hurt you? How many know people let you down? But you need to love people anyway. You need to reach out. Jesus said to love the Lord your God with all, say all, your heart, soul, and mind, and love your brother as yourself. There's a whole other problem. We don't love ourselves. We do not love ourselves. But you know, God, and we've got another series that we're going to, after we finish this one, we're going to get into that. Or maybe we'll start it on Wednesdays. I don't know. But it's just burning in my heart because there's an identity crisis in the body of Christ. We really, really don't know who we are. First, we don't know that God's our Father. And so many of us, most people, listen carefully, spend their whole lives working a job, trying to do the best they can, make some money, save some money, buy some things. But really, inside, they feel empty. They feel like they haven't fulfilled what it was they were made to do. Do you know that you were fashioned? The Bible says that you were fashioned individually. You know there'll never be another you? And that sounds kind of cliche, but you need to realize that no one can worship God the way you can. No one can live this life the way that you can. And all of hell and this world is trying to tell us we can't. And so you see many people that get into extended education in college, and they go on and they even get into a chosen field, and they may work 20, 30 years and be like, something ain't right. Something ain't right. Because we don't take time to find out what God made us for. Again, that's another series that's coming. But it really applies here because so many of us are living a life where we don't know God's our Father, we don't know who we are, and so we try to meet needs naturally or carnally. That means we're trusting the things in this world, this life, to fulfill us, to give us peace, to give us joy, all those different things. And listen, it's nice to enjoy your life. Matter of fact, you should enjoy your life, all right? You only get one shot at this. You better have fun, all right? But that is not what your life consists of. Your life consists of finding out who your Father is, who's your daddy, and finding out who you are. And I'll tell you, unless we get this, we will not have an effective prayer life. See, when we get a hold of God, we have a new purpose. We start living or start having relationships that not only work, but help us to achieve greater things. And I think that is so important. I want to read that again. We have a new purpose. We start to have relationships that not only work, but help us to achieve greater things. So we have working relationships, and working relationships with your Father and other people, as you'll see as we get through this series, will help you to live a greater life. But the devil wants to keep you from connecting with your Father by telling you that God's not your Father, that God's mad at you. I don't care how many times you mess up, God's not mad at you. If you're in Christ Jesus, it's done. It is, sin is done. The man of sin is taken care of. Now, you'll still do stupid things. Let me help you out, okay? You're gonna do stupid things because the flesh is stupid. But you've got to believe that God loves you. I don't care what you've done. It does not matter. It does not matter. Ephesians 1:3, it says this. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Isn't that good news? Holy and without blame before him in what? Love. We sang a lot about the love of God this morning. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure. You know, doesn't it say good pleasure? Is that what it says there? The good pleasure of his will. Jesus said to the disciples, don't you know it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of heaven? God takes delight. God takes delight, Ron, in giving you the kingdom. Oh, my. It don't matter how good or bad you are. I know, ain't that good news? It is good news, man. It doesn't matter. Because Jesus took care of this to bring you into right relationship with Father God by adopting you. Come on, somebody. I mean, we have three wonderful children. We love them. We'd choose them if we had to choose them. But how many know when you reach out and adopt someone, you are making a choice. That's someone, I mean, when you have kids, that's it. They're yours, that's it. You know, you sign for them. You sign for them at the hospital, and they're paid for in full. No, that's not true, okay? You pay the rest of your life, okay? But when you're adopted, someone is choosing you. Jesus is, or Father God is choosing you, and the price that he paid was his son, Jesus Christ, to adopt you and to love you. We got to believe this, folks. It's his good pleasure. It's his will. The will of God in Christ Jesus for you and me is that God would pleasure in us and call us sons and daughters. That's the will. I mean, I've heard so many people over the years say, well, I just want to know the will of God for my life. And usually what we're saying is we don't know what we're supposed to do. Now, I already addressed that. That'll be in our next series, the identity crisis thing. But you want to know, if you and I would know the will of God, that God takes pleasure in loving us and adopting us, we'd get to the next level. Because now we would know that God's not angry. God's not mad. I don't care what you've done. God's not mad. And so now you won't be afraid to draw near him. The Bible says that men would pray everywhere. Remember, we read that up front. Lifting holy hands without doubt, without wrath. Reaching out to their father. I love it when you see little kids, they want to run to their mom or their dad. Isn't that what they do? Come on. We should be reaching out to him because he's reaching out to us. Verse 6, he says, "So the praise of his glory, of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in" what? "All wisdom and prudence." So he's forgiven our sins. He's given us the richness of his grace. He's given us wisdom. How many know God's prudent? God, just the other day, I get amazed, and I'll tell you, anyone who's a scientist, and I'm not a scientist, okay, I look at science and I think, holy moly, I don't, you know. But I just start to think about basic stuff, like creation. And I think, how could you study science and think there's no God? I mean, really? Really? I'm sitting there, I'm watching our dog lay on the couch yesterday, taking a nap. Just breathing. And I'm thinking, I don't know if you ever think like this. Turn the TV off, you will. And you should. And he's breathing. And I started to think, we're both breathing. Now, think about it. Now, God made this place. God made this place. I'm still breathing. I'm staying a long time. That's right. Long, long life. But God made this place where you and I can breathe air. You think about this. You can breathe the air. You change a few molecules or maybe one molecule, just a little bit, the number, and you have water that you'll drown in. But you can drink that water. It will refresh you as long as it goes down the right pipe, right? Come on. I mean, you choke on it. But just a little bit off, okay? And I don't know all the exact, but it's just a little off. It has a lot of the same components, all right? You can drink it. It'll refresh you. It'll bring everything that you need to lubricate your body. Then you change it a little bit more, and poof, you got fire. Come on, somebody. I mean, think about this. Oh, yeah, God doesn't exist. I mean, are you kidding me? God is prudent. God has taken, if you just start to think about those things a little bit, air that you breathe, water that you drink, and you can start a fire. And all the little boys say, yeah, okay. Little boys, all right. I know. If you start to think about things that way, it will actually start to help you realize, how can I fail? How can my life get messed up? Think about it. If God cares enough for that dog that's taking a nap on my couch in my house eating my food that I buy for that thing. Come on, somebody. It's a revelation for some of us. How much more does God love you? And you say, well, Pastor, but I've faced times where it's been hard. Listen, we face things. But you know what? If we had this attitude, we get right through that thing. But you know what happens most of the time? We start to take things into our own hands. We start to try and solve things ourselves because we get in fear. We get in, oh, my goodness, we go somewhere with this. And we start to do things that we never should have done rather than just letting ourselves rest. Matter of fact, it says in Psalms that we should be like a child who's been weaned, a child who is just, like, satisfied by God. So I want you to close your eyes. I want you to think about what we just talked about. I want you to just take a big breath and just receive the love of God today. And realize no matter what you're going through, God has already met the answer. So you should go and live the rest of this day, the rest of this week, the rest of your life, knowing that he has already looked ahead and provided for you every single thing you need. You say, but Pastor, but I didn't prepare for my retirement properly. Okay, listen to me. Now, you're not off the hook for not preparing. We should prepare. But how many fathers would say, well, you didn't prepare right, you're going to die in poverty. Matter of fact, the Bible says this, I was young, but now I'm not as young as I used to be, in my paraphrase. He says, I was young, but now I'm old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know, God can provide for you. Now, if you just waste your money, that's a whole other thing. Matter of fact, there's several churches in the area that do Dave Ramsey stuff. I think Bay Point's doing one. Get enrolled. We haven't offered that yet because there's so many other churches that do it. Just go over there. Do it there. Learn how to live on a budget. But the thing is, I don't care how bad you mess up. How many fathers, you as fathers and mothers, would you just say to your child, they say, I ran out of money, would you just kick them? Say, get that. I don't even do that to that dog that's sleeping on my couch, breathing my air. I'll just amp it up. Eating my food. Come on. Listen, here's something for you young parents. Remember this. Your children will beg you to buy them animals and pets. But here's the thing you need to realize. Your children grow up and move out, and you're stuck with the pet. Because usually you get one when they're like 10, and how many know, 20 years old, they're gone. Not to college or whatever, getting on with your career, whatever. Getting married, having grandbabies, doing everything that kids do. And you got the dog. All right, just remember that. Let's read on. So we're accepted in the Beloved, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the grace which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure which he purposed in himself. So his will is to deliver us, to take care of us, to seat us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why would he not meet your needs? And we've got to settle this before we even start to pray. We have to. Or we'll just go through a form of prayer and nothing will change. And I'm going to tell you, there is nothing more discouraging than unanswered prayer. Nothing. And we need patience. Come on. As we're praying through things. But I'm going to tell you something. When you realize that God is your Father, your prayers get answered a whole lot quicker and a whole lot better. Just when you have that breakthrough. Because you know he's your Father, and so you're not in a hurry. If things don't go according to your calculations, according to your plan, you know, okay, well, God loves me, so I must just be off. And you just rest in the fact that your timing's messed up. Come on, somebody. But you got to have this first. Listen to what it says, Psalm 68, verse 5. A father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation. God sets the solitary in families, and those who are bound into what? Prosperity. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. You say, well, how, you know, the rebellious dwell in a dry land. I'm going to tell you something. Rebellion, plain and simple. And as soon as we read that, we think of this sin and that sin and the other thing. Simply, rebellion is thinking we know better than God. Rebellion can be, well, it can't be that good. A pastor said that God's our Father, and if I pray that I'll get a breakthrough. And some religious person say, well, it can't be that good because you got this sin and you got that and you got this and you got the. Wait a minute. That's not what God said. That's not what he said. Matter of fact, the children of Israel, 40 years they were in the wilderness, God kept meeting their needs and they'd be, we want to go back to Egypt. At least back there we kind of had control over things. That's what they're saying. We could eat our leeks and our onions. Yeah. Let's go. Said they limited the Holy One of Israel, Psalm 78, 41, I think it is. They limited the Holy One of Israel. They were rebellious because, and it really goes down to the original sin. Did God say? Yes, he did. Don't go any further than that. He did say it. He said that your sins are removed. It said that you've been chosen in the Beloved. It says that he's blessed you with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. It says he chose you. It says he adopted you. It says you're without blame. It says you're in love. It says you're holy. It says you're the good pleasure of his will. It says he's given you grace. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, you and I have got to look at what the scripture says and stop trying to live religious lies, because religious lies produce rebellion. You can't be good enough, you can't earn it, and you cannot keep it. And if you start thinking anything other than that, you will be in rebellion to what the gospel has taught us. 1 Corinthians 5, he says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That means it's balanced, it's taken care of. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now, remember, we said that God is prudent. Remember, air, oxygen, water, fire, all right? It says here that he has forgiven us or reconciled us and committed to us the word of reconciliation, not holding our sins against us anymore. Isn't that what it says? That doesn't change. We need to stop changing stuff that isn't there. Matter of fact, we don't have time this morning, but if you want to, on your own, go read John 13, John chapter 13. And if you look at the Old Testament, where the law was given to Moses, maybe you remember the story. The Bible, remember the burning bush? Burning bush, and then Charlton Heston's voice came out, "Remove your sandals," or what? Remove your shoes. But the Bible says that God told Moses to take off his shoes, for the place he stood was holy ground. Now, in John chapter 13, listen, that's the law, all right? You're not good enough. So, and this is going to rack somebody's religious brain. I'm warning you right now. But this is the truth. That's the law. You know what grace is? Jesus comes and washes the disciples' feet. That's how different the law and grace are. On one, you can't even stand there because you're not holy enough, because you can't keep the law. It's impossible. But in grace, matter of fact, I'm going to read a portion of this. John 13, where do I want to go to? You know what? Let's just read verses 2 through 8. If you can look that up for me, let's read the New King James Version. New King James, John 13, verses 2 through 8. I'm going to show you this. This is powerful. "And supper being ended, the devil already been put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands," and listen, if Father gave all things to Jesus, then Jesus now has given us all things. And there's scripture after scripture to tell you this, all right? "He come from God, and he knew he was going. He rose from supper. He laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, 'Lord, you are washing my feet?' Jesus answered, and he said to him, 'What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this.' Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.'" This is what a religious person would say. If I said, "You know what? Jesus came to serve you." Oh my gosh. I just made somebody mad, either here or online. I don't know. Says he came as a suffering servant. He's coming as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is that. But he came, and Jesus said, "Serve as I've served." But listen, Peter says, "You're not washing my feet." A religious person said, "No way. Jesus, I'm going to serve you." I've had people even say to me, "Well, Pastor, I wouldn't do it for you, but I'll do it for Jesus." And I'll say, "No, don't do it for me, please. I don't want you helping me at all." I've said that to people because that's kind of yuck. "I'll do it for Jesus, but I won't do it for you." Then you won't do it for Jesus. You'll do it for your own religious motives. Oh, my, we're running out of time. I wish we had an hour. And nobody said amen, so let's hurry. Okay. You got to get this. So listen, Peter says, "You'll never wash my feet." Jesus answered, listen to this, "If I do not wash you, you'll have no part with me." If I do not wash you, you'll have no part with me. Jesus is saying, if you don't let me serve you, if you don't let me wash you and make you clean, you can't even be part of this covenant. You can't even, if you don't understand that God is your Father, that Jesus came to wash your feet, and there's absolutely nothing you can do to earn it or to keep it, you cannot believe the word of God is given for you to prosper in. You got to get this first. We've got to get this first. And we're out of time, so I got to stop. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you today for the word of God, which has come. You're teaching us all that you have for us. So this morning, Father, I just pray for every person here that they have a breakthrough in what you did for them. And they would start to live out of the revelation of the grace of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, lots of things going on in the church. We encourage you to get involved in it.